Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, in with T. Frank Carr. He's sitting in for our buddy Greg Pickle. Typically, quarter number three means it's Ask Greg, but instead we're going to do Ask T. Frank. You ready for this, T. Frank?
Absolutely. This is my moment, my time to shine. I'm going to translate it all to the field. We're going to make it work.
It is, because this is, you can't depend on all that prep work you did for the other segments. This one,
yeah.
You got to audible. You got to be ready for what's thrown at you.
Off-schedule plays. We'll see how good I am at those.
All right. We are going to take a look. First one is Rob from Columbus, Georgia, who says, and he actually addresses this to you, T. Frank, enjoyed your episode on Sean Clifford. In Penn State's final four games last year, did Clifford improve at all, or were the wins more attributable to quality of opponents? No interceptions. What were you? Was your read on Sean? We're keeping the Sean Clifford theme going here, T. Frank.
So I don't want to take all credit away from him, because he did operate those plays and he did make the right decisions. And there were some good plays. You know, I think we've talked about it either off air or in one of the previous segments. There were a lot of schemed open throws and he nailed them. The one to there are a couple to Parker Washington and to Brenton Strange that come to mind, where he executed the play fake and then got the ball downfield for a touchdown. And I don't want to take away from those things, but there was not a lot of high-level quarterback play that changed the mathematics outside of maybe the Michigan State game. I think that probably was his best game from a passing standpoint. I think he got back to level. I don't think he improved. I think he got back to where his feet were underneath him. And so improved from the beginning of the season, yes. Improved overall, no.
Did you get the sense on – I remember a couple of those plays that you're talking about. I had it in my head, though, you know, the pump fake, throw somewhere else – it wasn't him reading the defense and changing as much as it was. It felt like it was a design play, and he was told
yes.
to do that.
Yes, but he still has to execute. That's my point. Is he still has to execute that? And you can still butcher that. You can still get antsy on that pump fake. You can still miss the open receiver downfield. You know, from the number of plays I've watched and the number of bad quarterbacks I've seen on tape, that's why I'm not ready to give up on Sean Clifford, because when it works, he makes it work. So he's an accurate quarterback. He doesn't miss a ton of things he should be able to do. You're right. And that's why I say I don't think he improved. There wasn't some sort of like spark or switch that flipped and he's starting to hit the cover two hole or be able to hit a seam route down and beat defenders with the football. He's not doing any of those things, but he is operating a college offense, and that's not something to just dismiss. And I think that that's one of the mistakes we make, is that, you know, it's still hard. It's just he's executing the things that are expected of him, which is still something that, you know, some quarterbacks can't do.
All right, let's get to Mike in Littleton, Colorado. At least the first part of this is addressed to Greg. Hey, Greg, hope the golf game is in good shape. So, Greg on assignment. Maybe that means he's out golfing. So,
doing some research.
You a golfer, T. Frank?
Oh, no. I mean, I've done it before, but I'm awful. My clubs, we got our clubs from Goodwill, so that should be that gauge your level of expectation about my golf game from there. And I was using half women's clubs because my wife and I share a bag. That's how much we golf.
All right, so we'll lower that level of expectation. Mike has a question, though. His question is, what changes during the pandemic in recruiting and in team management do you think will change permanently? I know my company made many efficiency improvements having people work remotely. What do you think, T. Frank? Pandemic going to change anything permanently?
So I think James Franklin has talked about how it forced them to think outside the box and do some different things when it comes to Zoom and FaceTime and be a little more digital when it came to that. And I think that that will always stay. But Penn State and James Franklin work off relationships and building in-person sort of, you know, relationships with people. And I think we all agree that in 2020, yeah, you can do it, but it's better when it's in person. So I don't think that's going to change. Maybe some of the recruiting stuff that they've done, in terms of video presentations or accessing recruits across the country where they might not be able to get to on a regular basis, they now have a way to stay in contact more regularly. I don't know that, because we're now into open recruiting where players are on campus, and it's like a fire hose has been turned on. So I think what we saw was everyone's best effort, but it's not going to compare to in-person camps and recruiting and stuff like that.
It definitely won't, and you were right about the fire hose in June, and it's at Penn State we've seen all the scheduled players, but it's like that every school. And I read something interesting. I hadn't thought about it this way. Players are allowed 5 visits to 5 different schools, official visits, and there's only 4 weekends in the month. So this is why you're seeing more the in the week, during the week. And apparently one coach said, we're trying to avoid those in-week visits. That probably means we're number 5 out of the 5 schools that they're looking to visit. So we're probably not the players' priority. All right, next up is Bill from Easton, and we're going to stay with the recruiting theme. He says, with camps and in-person recruiting back, do you anticipate a lot of decommits, and do you expect a lot of changes in the player rankings?
Oh, that's a great question. So these are obviously people are used to asking Greg, who covers recruiting specifically. For the most part, I'm on the back end where when recruits do come up, I evaluate their film. So I'll answer it that way. It will change when we have testing numbers on players. So that is a big thing that I have. We've had unprecedented access to video because parents weren't allowed to go to games. So there's a lot of stuff online, recording more high school games. That's made my job so much more fascinating and fun, but we've lacked those testing numbers. And those are really important when it comes to a guy's listed at 6'2". Is he really closer to 6 feet? Does he actually run a 4.5? Does he run a 4.2? What are his measurables, those tangible things that make up the star rating profiles? I think in large part, those have been hard to answer this year. So that will drastically change when you get some more in-person evaluations of players, whether they're at camps for different organizations or at university camps, and you can see these guys getting offers, and some guys are going to get a ton of offers really quickly because once they get in person, you see how they're bigger than they looked on film. They're way faster than they looked on film, and you're going to see coaches immediately offer that kid. And that is going to cause that domino effect of, oh, well, Penn State did that. Well, then we're going to definitely offer that guy. And you will see some of that because of the in-person physical testing, I think, is going to be something that you just couldn't replicate. You cannot replicate that stuff on film. It's too easy to be deceptive with angles, and you can't really know unless you have your stopwatch on it.
Okay, next up is Jared. He's from Ohio via Lancaster. He says, since 2016, there's been talk of how to close the gap with Ohio State. If, and this is a big if, the following scenario comes to fruition, how likely is it Penn State could take the next step and make the college football playoffs? Drew Aller, without the in-state offer from Ohio State, enrolls at Penn State and develops into a first-round pick. And Quinn, is it Ewers, enrolls at Ohio State and does not develop as expected? Before you answer the question, just to let people know, this Quinn, he's from Texas. He's considered the number one recruit in the country. He's a quarterback, and he has committed to Ohio State because, Ohio State doesn't have enough 4- and 5-star quarterbacks already. They have 3 of them right now with freshman eligibility. So let's bring in the number one quarterback in the country. I'm going to shape the question a little bit different. Do you know? Have you seen any of Quinn Ewers on film? Do you know anything about him? Okay.
I have not seen anything of him on film. It's all on reputation.
Let's talk about Drew Aller a bit. I know Jared's question is based on, will this help Penn State catch up to Ohio State? But I'll shape the question.
I think he also knows the answer to that question. He just wants to hear me out of my mouth say, yes, if Penn State has a first round quarterback, they can close the gap because they're a really good team at every other position. But it's just certain positions where you have elite talent that has escaped them because there's only so many of those players, whether it's a quarterback and hitting on the right guy, getting lucky with a guy that it doesn't develop the way that you were expecting, right? So guys that don't have the profile coming out of college sometimes develop. And then secondly, we've talked about this before, the elite level talents that are very rare along the offensive and defensive line and corner, I think, is another one where they've lagged behind in recent years, but they're catching up, is finding quality corner prospects that can change the mathematics of the offense and defense. Those rare skill players are where they've lagged behind. Everywhere else, they recruit great players. So if you get a quarterback, it makes up for all of that stuff. So yes, if Drew Aller, and again, Bo Prabula is also committed and is going to be enrolling early. If one of those guys turns into a first-round quarterback, everything's open. That's how football works.
Well, this turns into a math-type thing and odds. Ohio State has three guys right now, freshman eligibility at quarterback, who were considered top 100 players. They've got another player coming in next year who's the number one player, not just number one quarterback, but number one player in the country. That's four guys. Yep. Drew Aller is he's considered, I believe, at least in one of the rankings, a top 100 yes. player.
I think he's 89.
So Ohio State has four of those guys. Penn State will have one of those guys. What are the odds? They're stacked in Ohio State's favor in that situation. Yes. With that said, though, we've got a minute left. Drew Aller, how good is he? How good can he be, T. Frank?
I'm very interested to see his senior film because at this point, most players know their weaknesses if they're being coached well, and it's just, can you fix them? And, you know, I've done profiles of him in the past. If he can play better under pressure and he can make better, more accurate passes under pressure, then I don't know what his ceiling is. Like, it's obviously very, very high. We'll find out once he gets to the NFL, or sorry, the college level, whether he can get to the NFL level. But the physical skills are all there, but I just want to pump the brakes on physical skills, because physical skills are one thing, and he pairs them with some good mental processing, but there are flaws in players' games. So I want you to be excited if you're a Penn State fan. I just want you to know there is a percentage chance that he can't overcome those. And that doesn't make him a bust. That makes him exactly what he developed into.
Very good. A lot to be excited about. And you know what? He's not even going to hit campus until for another year and a half or so.
This is why players always, like, you can't live up to this hype. It's been 2 years in the making. That's why I feel bad. That's why I do this and why I feel bad for these kids is because, like, you'll never live up to that hype. You've been waiting for Christmas for 2 years.
All right. That is it for quarter number three. Stick around. Quarter number four, we'll name our winner.
Hey y'all, it's Blake Shelton here, introducing y'all to the all-new American Brewed SmithWorks Hard Seltzer Lemonade. Made for days when schedules are empty and coolers are full, SmithWorks Hard Seltzer Lemonade is a perfect choice for celebrating good times. Available now in four Heartland-inspired flavors. Check out SmithWorksUSA.com for a store nearest you.
Premium malt beverage with natural flavors. 5% ABV. Copyright 2021 SmithWorks Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.